This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Number three, coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. And we're going to end this week the way I like to end all of my weeks when things work out okay to where we can do that, and that is by having one more discussion with Dean Weingarten. How's it goes it, sir?
Goes well.
Yeah. Now I haven't even looked at the truth about guns. Ammo Land today, but I did see something that I thought you wrote that got published today. I know that's way vague, isn't it? So let's go there and look just so I can make sure that I know what I'm talking about. And I think it had to do with, is Utah about to become a...
Yes, I did write an article about that.
Yeah,
about Utah's
about to become a
carry state.
Well, I thought they were, to be honest with you. I thought they were one of the ones that were, but I didn't know, so I haven't said too much about it.
Well, you'd think they would be. I mean, they're a very gun-friendly state. They're conservative. They have very low crime rate. You'd think they'd be constitutional carry. But back in 2013, they have open carry. You can carry openly, although their law is a little strange in that it requires that there be an empty chamber. But you can openly carry there. And in 2013, they passed a weak constitutional carry bill through the legislature with large, more than two-thirds of legislature in favor of it in both the House and the Senate. Well, you'd think that would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But they had recently elected a governor. Originally, he was a lieutenant governor, and then governor left, so he became governor kind of by default. He wasn't originally elected.
Right.
His name is Gary R. Herbert. And he didn't like the idea of constitutional carry, so he vetoed it, even though it was kind of weak. And that was in 2013, and they never were able to get up enough gumption to pass another constitutional carry as long as he was in office, apparently feeling they didn't want to try to override or that it wasn't necessary. But he's left office now, and a new governor is in office. That governor is Spencer Cox. And he's much more favorable toward constitutional rights than Gary Herbert was. And they have now submitted a new constitutional carry bill, HB 60. And it's a much better constitutional carry bill. The previous bill required that if you were going to carry concealed, the firearm had to be unloaded. Well, you know, I guess it's sort of a constitutional carry bill, but the new one just simply says that if you're 21 years of age or older and you can lawfully possess a firearm, then you can carry concealed. So that's a fairly good constitutional carry bill, and it looks like it has a good chance of passage. The person who submitted it is Walt Brooks. He's from St. George, Utah. And he says that he has talked to Governor Cox and that several times Governor Cox told him that he was in favor of the bill. So that's really positive. And then the Deseret News in an article said that they contacted Cox and the spokeswoman, the governor's spokeswoman, Jennifer Pierce, told the paper that both the governor-elect Cox and the lieutenant governor-elect, Henderson, said they would support a constitutional carry bill and look forward to working with the sponsors on the detail. So you've got the legislature, who is the very strong Republican legislature in Utah. 7 years ago, they passed a constitutional carry bill, not a great one, but a kind of weak one. And now you have the governor saying he will sign on, and you have a reasonably strong constitutional carry bill in the hopper. So all of that looks like a good chance of constitutional carry passing in 2021. Now, the fly, as it were, in the pudding here is that I've seen a lot of bills that had very strong support die in various legislatures across the country, because it's a kind of convoluted process. In our system, it's reasonably difficult to pass legislation, even if majorities are in support of it, because there are a lot of committee chairmen and other people that have hidden agendas sometimes. I don't want to pass this bill because so-and-so supported it. Or he wouldn't support my bill, so I'm not going to support this one. Or they just don't want to admit that they really don't like the idea of constitutional carry and they want to kill it surreptitiously. I mean, I've seen situations where they had large majorities in both houses, and then a committee chairman who voted for the bill, then at the very end of the legislature, he was the one in charge of scheduling when bills would show up for final approval to go to the governor, because they had a lot of bills and they had to put them on. They put them on a priority list. So he just put the bill at the bottom of the priority list, and time ran out before anybody got to see it. So there's a lot of different ways that people can use their power to surreptitiously kill a bill if they want to. So you can't say for certain this bill will pass, but I think it has a good chance, a very good chance.
Now, when you say that some of these guys are just not happy with constitutional carry, what are the various reasons you hear whenever somebody's out there saying, well, you know, I'm not happy with constitutional carry?
Well, first, they seldom will put it that way. I mean, okay. You have to kind of look at how they phrase things. They say, well, the public won't be safe if people just get to carry guns around without proper vetting and without the state having to issue a license where they can check to see if they're good people or not. So we can, you know, that constitutional carry is pretty radical stuff. What we have is really working wonderfully. We don't need that. So, you know, it's a stupid bill to spend time on when we could be, you know, saving babies from mosquitoes or something like that.
Yeah. Now, I've heard all kinds of stuff, and I will tell you, I'll tell you a couple of them. We're coming up on the next break, on the first break, but I'll tell you the one that one of them is that it will put the concealed carry permit instructors out of business, like... They're concerned that they'll be taking business from some of these guys where it is not really that expensive to get one. Like in my state, it's not that expensive. It's not something that you can just do full time, especially in the COVID era. And, I always find that interesting. But I'll run some other stuff past you when we get back from the break. Now, Dean, when did you start writing? What year was it that you started writing?
Gosh, well, I first got published in a national publication back about 1981 or two.
Okay.
I had a short published in the American Rifleman.
So that's 39 years?
Yeah, but so, I didn't really start going full-time until about 2012.
Okay. Well, this amount of time, especially if it's 2012. Right now at Amoland.com, you can find a archive of his articles that numbers well over 1,700, covering the entire spectrum of the gun world, the gun culture, simply because he's interested in all of it. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Hoosier.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. We're speaking with writer, instructor, activist, scientist, that is Dean Weingarten. And we were discussing the... Now, in the course of your time, whenever you've... have you ever done research on how this constitutional carry works out in these states? I've never heard of a state taking it back once they start it.
No. And in fact, you have... it's very popular... And it tends to be pushed from the ground up. usually it's grassroots organizations that push their legislators. And I have to admit that the Supreme Court decision in Heller and McDonald had a great deal with pushing the constitutional carry initiative forward, because people say it's a constitutional right. How come we have to pay for a permit? How come we have to go through a fingerprint check? How come we have to apply to the state for permission to do, which is what is a constitutional right? And that's been used to great effect. So it goes from the ground up in almost all these states, and then you get a few legislators who take it on, usually out of principle. The ones I have talked to, that's what happened. And then they just start recruiting like-minded people, and they point to the other states that have had constitutional carry. Vermont had it forever. They never went to require a permit to carry either concealed or openly in Vermont. And they always had a very low crime rate, one of the lowest in the nation. Then Alaska, and then Arizona, and then we get more of a flood of them. But it just, if you look at the statistics, you find that it doesn't make much difference. If anything, you maybe get a slight reduction in crime with constitutional carry, but you don't have any increase. And there was a study done by a kind of leftist group, I think it was in 2019, and they said, we just don't see any statistical difference in states that have constitutional carry before and after. It just doesn't make a difference in the crime rate. And in Utah, they are using that study and saying, well, if it doesn't make a difference, why do we even have it on the books? Why should we submit people to all this indignity and intrusive looking after by the state and the expense of doing it and maintaining all of the databases and putting people in jail if they accidentally put a jacket over their belt gun? It's not worth it. Why do that? And so in Utah, they're using that argument to push it, and it's well received in Utah. And we're now up to 16 states that have constitutional carry. So you've got a broad spectrum. You have large metropolitan centers like Phoenix that has had constitutional carry for about a decade now. And you have rural areas, and you have just a multitude of places from Oklahoma to Alaska, and from the south, Mississippi, I believe, is one of the most southern states that has it. And it's in the Midwest, the West, the East, I mean, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont all have it. And it's just all of the constant predictions that you see, and the argument is made the same every time there's a legislative effort to reform the law, to restore Second Amendment rights to constitutional carry. The argument is blood in the streets, blood in the streets. You're going to have all these people killed, dying. Oh, it's terrible. And it never happens. It just never happens.
Right.
And so eventually the facts have an impact. And eventually people say, well, why am I fighting all these people? Why do I want to stop it? Well, the real reason, in my opinion, why people want to stop it is progressives hate the idea of the government being restrained by a constitution. They absolutely hate the idea that the government can't require you to pay a fee and get a permit and take a test and get your fingerprints on file in order to exercise a right. I mean, the idea that the government is at all constrained just goes directly against their basic principles of how the universe ought to work.
Right.
And so that a lot of them oppose constitutional just out of that, out of the principle that nobody should be allowed to do anything without government permission first.
Well, around a few years back, they were considering constitutional carry in South Carolina, and my senator was the head of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate that it had to make it out of in order for it to go forward. It already passed the House. right?
Yeah, it's got pretty good support in South Carolina.
Yeah, well, hadn't made it there yet, but I called this guy up, and the first thing he tells me is that this would make it legal for criminals to carry guns. And I said, well, if it's a criminal with a criminal record, it is illegal for him to possess a gun. So
right.
He can't possess a gun, so there's no way to make it legal for him to carry a gun. Then he said, well, the police won't be able to tell, because there was also open carry being considered. He said, the police won't be able to tell who are the bad guys and who are the good guys. I said, they will absolutely be able to tell who are the bad guys and who are the good guys. And he said, how? And I said, only in 2% of the cases with criminals they catch do they ever have on a holster.
Right.
If they're on the run and they've got to ditch the gun, if they ditch the gun but they have a holster that just happens to say, fit that gun, they'll be able to do the math.
Who goes around with an empty holster on their belt?
Nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody
does. You're absolutely right about that statistic. There was a study, I think it was done by the FBI, that looked at that. Might have been the Bureau of Justice statistics or something like that. But I did some research on it, and you're correct. I've written about it a couple different times.
But
criminals just don't use holsters.
Yeah. But, I mean, what was incredible about this was a Republican.
I guess they call them rhinos now.
He had no idea what he was talking about. Then he just finally admitted, well, I don't think that the Second Amendment means you can carry what you want, whenever you want, wherever you want. And I said, that's exactly what the Second Amendment means.
Exactly. It sounds to me like, as his part of his basic principles, he did not like the idea that the government was restrained.
Yeah, the other part was he also brought up the concealed carry permit instructors as well. I don't know what it was. Coming up on the next break, you can catch all of Dean's writings, or the last of his writings that he has done lately, at amoland.com. 1,700 plus articles. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
AR-style firearms for sports, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word Lock and Load at franklinarmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Day two of Joe Biden's administration is focused around the economy. White House economic advisor Brian Deese saying the economy is in a tricky situation.
Our economy is at a very precarious moment. We are 10 million jobs short still of where the economy was when this pandemic started.
Deese saying that's why we need to go big when it comes to comprehensive legislation for COVID-19 relief.
The American people are hurting, and they can't afford to wait. They need help right now, and that's the motivation behind the actions that the president will take.
Major League Baseball teams are remembering legend Hank Aaron, who died today at the age of 86. The Atlanta Braves, Aaron's former team, tweeting, "It's with great sadness we share the passing of our home run king, Hank Aaron." This is USA Radio News. Officials in Maryland are still waiting to hear from the person or people who bought this week's winning $730 million Powerball ticket. The ticket sold at Dick Ravencroft's Coney Market in the small town of Lona Coning, Maryland.
Okay, well, we got the call at 7 o'clock from the Lottery Commission that we had sold, our store had sold the winning lottery ticket.
Ravencroft telling ABC's Good Morning America what he'll do with his $100,000 he gets for selling the winning ticket.
My employees are going to benefit from it, I'm going to renovate the store.
How are your employees going to benefit?
I'm going to give them some of the money.
We may never know the winner, as Maryland is one of the states where you can win a lottery jackpot and remain anonymous. And your final numbers on Wall Street, the Dow losing 179 points to finish the week at 30,997. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Live. This is Lock and Load. And we are talking to Dean Weingarten. With these states where constitutional carry exists today, how many times, I mean, if, first things first, I would think if they had an uptick in crime, we would hear all about that, wouldn't we?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But it just doesn't happen. I mean, you have ups and downs in the crime rate. When you have police being demonized,
sure,
and told that they should be defunded and they shouldn't arrest criminals and to stay out of certain areas, crime rates tend to rise. And so when that has happened, as in the past year, you get a significant homicide bump, especially in inner city areas, and we've seen that in the last year. But it happens whether you have a concealed carry state or not. Now, it happens more in states where you don't have concealed carry because, you know, you don't have protection for people. But and that usually those areas don't have very high numbers of concealed carry permits. But we're seeing more, and we're seeing positive things come up. We're seeing more self-defense cases, even in Chicago, when Illinois was forced to issue concealed carry permits by the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court under the Second Amendment. So you just don't have the bump up. It just does not happen. Now, when we talk about barriers to people passing concealed carry through the legislature, one of the barriers you see, and it varies a lot by the state, is that of vested interest inside the government. If you have a strong permit program where you have a fair number of, say, state troopers employed by issuing permits, they may not want to reduce the number of permits issued. Although that rarely happens. When you pass constitutional carry, it's seldom that the number of permits drops very much. It may drop a little bit at first, and then people realize the advantages of both having constitutional carry and a permit. So you get the advantages of both systems. And if you don't want a permit, you don't have to have one. And if you do want a permit, you can get one. So that isn't so much the difficulty. The worst case I've seen there I would say, is Alabama, where you'd think they would have had constitutional carry a long time ago. But they have an interesting system. They're a peculiar institution, we might say, where the county sheriff is the one that issues the shall issue carry permit. And it's not very expensive. It's only like $5 to $20 generally.
Right.
And they have a lot of permits. I think it's like 20% of the population there have permits. But it's the sheriff that issues the permits, and that permit money goes directly into a slush fund. And the sheriff can do anything he wants with that money, unlike most money. So the incentive for the sheriff to keep a strong permitting system that puts a lot of money into a slush fund that he controls and nobody else, and he can do just about anything he wants with, is really a strong, strong incentive for them to keep the current system. So even though there have been initiatives put forward, and I mean legislative initiatives, not a referendum, in Alabama to get constitutional carry, it runs up against opposition from the Sheriff's Association. And so far they've been successful in stopping constitutional carry from going through.
Yeah. So,
and it's overall, monetarily reason.
When you say a slush fund,
it goes into a fund for the sheriff's office, so the sheriff they can
do anything they want with
anything
it.
They want.
There's no accountability at all for it.
Well, there's probably some. I don't think they could just like give it to their wife, but if they want to buy some body armor, they can do that. If they want to buy beer for an office picnic, they can do that. So there's a very wide discretion that they can use the money for.
Now the other thing that you wrote about here recently is that Montana, their house has passed a bill that includes constitutional carry. What do you think would happen within the Democratic Party if they woke up one morning and half of the country had constitutional carry?
I don't think it'd affect them that much. If the people in the Democrat Party were smart, they'd embrace the Second Amendment. And they would win a lot more elections. But it goes against their DNA. You know, they have this intrinsic need, it seems, to control people and to make sure that what they're allowed to do by the state is allowed.
They have to try to control dissent. They can't allow dissent, because otherwise most of their stuff is just take.
It doesn't stand up.
No.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So I think that is a big thing. They all the controlling that they do, most of it does not make sense. I mean, it literally is nonsensical. And if you have a serious debate about it, they just lose. So they figure out ways to stop the debate. One of their primary ways to do that is to just yell racist at anybody who opposes them. I do want to talk, and I think we'll get a chance here. Last time we mentioned the mountain lion case, the shooting by a deputy in...
Let's talk about that. We got about 3 minutes left in this segment. And we'll pick that up on the other side. That'll be the long segment. We can talk about the mountain lion shooting. If Utah and Montana pass this, what is that? Is that 18 states?
That'd be 18. And it's really, Montana has this very comprehensive reform bill that's up, and it's been crafted in large part with the help of Gary Marbut, who is the head of Montana Shooting Sports Association.
Right.
And he is a brilliant activist, and he became a Montana legislator for a number of years. And he put many of the provisions, or helped craft many of the provisions in this bill. And unless something really significant happens, like, maybe a mass shooting in Missoula, in a couple days or something like that, it's going to go through. I don't want to jinx it by saying it's inevitable, and it's not inevitable, but there is strong support in the Montana legislature and in the new governor kind of like in Utah, they didn't pass the bill because of the governor that had there. They were that was against it. In Montana, it was 15 years of solid Democrat governors that vetoed constitutional carry there. I think it was three different times. And they had closer, had veto-proof majorities, but they just didn't have the political will to override the veto. They may have been one vote or two votes short. It's possible. Two-thirds majority on anything is extraordinary in many legislatures. But this year, it looks like all the stars are lining up properly.
Yeah.
And they have a very positive governor who is a strong Second Amendment supporter, and they have strong majorities. I think they have over two-thirds majorities in both houses of the legislature in Montana. And so that's when you get things moving. They've been trying to do this. It's not like it's a new provision or that any of these reforms are all that new. They've been working on getting them through for a decade and a half.
There you go. Hang on for me right here because we're coming up on the next break. And all of these, the last two articles I talked about with Utah and Montana, those articles are up at amiland.com. You can catch all the other stuff that we've talked about at amiland.com. 1,700-plus articles. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542. To get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers, we deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Firing line. Coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. We're speaking with Dean Weingarten, and, well, we've got a mountain lion story to tell. So tell me about this mountain lion. First off, where was this mountain lion?
It was in California, and in Placerville, near Placerville, which is in El Dorado County. And that's kind of a central eastern part of the state, and it's a rural county. Placerville lets you know that it's somewhat mountainous, and they had a lot of mining there. I mean, the name comes from the word placer, which is a type of gold deposit that was mined during the California Gold Rush. So it's a rural county on the east side of the middle east side of the state, maybe just slightly north of the middle. And it happened on the 11th of January of this year. And they have a bike trail called the El Dorado Bike Trail that goes from Placerville pretty close to the boundary of California border. And most of it is paved, and just outside of Placerville, it's paved. And it was a nice day, the clear sky, and about 55 degrees. And this family, young family, was walking on the trail. They had two small dogs and two small children, and the children were small enough that they were in a stroller. So it wasn't like they could run all that fast. Not that it would matter for a mountain lion, which can move about twice as fast as a human can on the run. And they noticed that a mountain lion was following them on the trail. And they shouted at the mountain lion, but it kept following them. It wasn't deterred. It did not run off. And it had been following them for several minutes, and they called 911, the sheriff's department. And fortunately, the sheriff's deputy was reasonably close and made a pretty good response time. He was there in 7 minutes from the 911 call, which is a very fast response time for a rural county. And he encountered the family just east of where the El Dorado Trail crosses the Smith Flat School Road, which is just outside city limits. And there's a curve in that road about 200 yards east of where it crosses, and that's where confrontation occurred. And the El Dorado Sheriff's Department requires every patrol vehicle to have a Remington 870 pump shotgun, and then another designated less than lethal beanbag shotgun in the vehicle. But if the patrol officers, and they have about 100 patrol officers in the sheriff's office, if they take and pass a rifle course, they can be issued a Colt AR-15 style rifle in .223.
Gotcha.
And the issue ammunition is a 55 grain Hornaday soft tip, which it has an insert in the tip of a relatively soft, but it makes for great feeding. Otherwise, it's a hollow point. And it's called a TAP ammunition, and that's the issue ammunition for the rifle. And almost all of the patrol deputies have been issued rifles, and most of them purchased their own optical sight. But in this case, the sergeant wasn't able to tell me if that particular rifle had an optic on it. But I was able to contact the sergeant in the sheriff's office directly, and he was able to give me a lot of details that weren't in the AP account. So when he exited his patrol vehicle, he took an AR-15, a Colt AR-15-style rifle with him, and they could see the mountain lion. Now, I'm pretty sure that the family moved, the deputy did, so that he was in between the family and the mountain lion. And it was like pacing back and forth across the road. Here was another bigger animal there in between it and the family. But it wasn't deterred. And it started advancing towards the deputy. He fired a shot, warning shot, in front of it. But it continued to move toward them at a walk. And so he fired at the big cat, apparently trying to shoot it in the chest. I don't know for certain if he hit it or not. The first shot was about 25 to 30 yards out. But once he fired that shot, it accelerated toward him. I'm presuming that's either running or loping toward him. And so then he started to fire for effect, and he fired, they thought, four or five times, hitting it three or four more times, and finally hitting it in the side as it turned, and it dropped to the ground about 10 yards from the deputy. Now, all of that happened much faster, I am sure, than I was able to describe it. Probably happened in about 1 to 2 seconds. And that's one of the big advantages of the AR-15-type rifle, is because of the relatively low recoil and the inline design, and that's how it was designed on purpose. You can fire aimed shots very rapidly. And so the mountain lion, when it was examined by California Fish and Wildlife, or Wildlife and Fish, if I remember which is the correct sequence for California,
right,
was determined to be a fully grown adult female, and they're going to do a necropsy. Autopsy is for humans, necropsy is for animals, to determine if there were any mitigating factors. Did it have rabies? You know, was it in some way debilitated that it couldn't go after ordinary game? The initial examination of the lion did not indicate anything like that, but you know, they can do more tests when they do the necropsy. And the sergeant told me that from what he had seen, he thought it was probably in the neighborhood of 100 pounds, which is a full-grown female mountain lion. A 200-pound mountain lion, which would ordinarily only the males get that big, is an extraordinarily large mountain lion. So they're not nearly as big as most bears get to be, but they are a big enough animal, and they certainly can kill people and have done so in numerous occasions. Now, the problem, and what I think causes this in California, is that they passed a proposition in 1990 banning the hunting of mountain lions, just in general. And so when you stop hunting big predators like this, they expand to the food supply, and then they start looking for more. And most towns and villages and even individual households often have mountain lion food, otherwise known as garages or garbage or pet food or pets. Mountain lions kill a lot of dogs and cats. They didn't used to. Before mountain lion hunting was banned, the principal means of hunting them was with dog packs. And so mountain lions learned very quickly that dogs were a serious threat. And so when a dog started to follow them or bark at them, they would retreat or go up a tree right away. And I remember reading many stories of just a small dog treeing mountain lions. But since then, they don't regard dogs as much of a threat, and they tend to kill and eat pet dogs regularly. One of the interesting things about this story was that there were a lot of comments afterwards in the Facebook page for the Sheriff's Department, and there were four comments that talked about how they had somewhat similar situations where a mountain lion had stalked them or they had to scare the mountain lion off. And I thought that was rather remarkable in a relatively small town like Placerville. But here you have several people commenting how over just the last few years that they had been stalked by a lion as well. And what I think of the proposition that passed in California in 1990, I consider it a process I call Disneyfication, where people attribute, they anthropomorphize, that is, they make humans out of animals. They attribute to animals the same attributes that
right.
belong to humans, and they think of them as just, you know, nice people in furry coats. And that's just not true. That's not what how they are, and that's not how they act. And for that matter, most people, well, unless they have the force of law, are not very nice.
But before we run out of time, you're going to be with me on Wednesday?
I intend to be with you on Wednesday.
Outstanding. If that my power will just stay on, I'll be good to go. I'm getting sort of tired of that. Thank you very much for joining me this evening, sir.
It is always a pleasure, and I'm glad we were able to get the mountain lion story out as we said we would.
There we go. Back again on Monday. Between now and then, if you would be so kind, remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. That's the goal. This has been Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIGuns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.